Gail Trotter is with us right now, attorney, a senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum, co-founder of Schaefer & Trotter PLC, a law firm in Metropolitan, D.C., that advises entrepreneurs and small businesses. Gail, always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Great to be with you. How are you, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you. We got to talk about this 2016 race, media bias. I mean, all this stuff is being churned up in such a way. It is so confusing. In fact, you'll appreciate this, Gail. I had a friend of mine the other day say, you know, I was talking to this guy, and I asked him why he was against the Republicans, and he says, it's those Pepsi brothers. The Pepsi brothers are causing problems.
I love it.
So we just don't know what we don't know. And this is the deal with all this bias and misinformation that's part and parcel of this 2016 election. I mean, that's what concerns me a lot right now these days. I don't know about you.
Yes, and journalism's ethical responsibility is to deliver objective news so that citizens can be informed and make good choices when they're electing officials or thinking about referendums or anything else that we do as members of this democracy, this republic. And so I just wrote this piece for the Daily Caller talking about how media bias is not only harming the journalistic ethics of the mainstream media, but it's harming the voters too, because we are not getting objective information. And as a case in point, I took Donald Trump, who was pilloried in the Boston Globe. They did a fake front page where they put all these fake headlines of what Donald Trump's America would look like, which was kind of channeling, you might remember Ted Kennedy when he was in the Senate and Bob Bork had been nominated for the Supreme Court. Ted Kennedy came out with this horrible character assassination saying what America would look like if Bob Bork were on the Supreme Court. So it was that, and then the Boston Globe and doing this fake front page about Donald Trump's America was also channeling The Onion, because it was just complete fake news.
Exactly. Well, you know, the thing is, it's as disgusting, in my humble opinion, as Harry Reid from the well of the Senate, you know, perpetrating those lies about John Kerry, and then afterwards smugly says, well, he didn't get elected. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, this is what our society and our culture has come down to. We've reduced ourselves to a lying soundbite about people in order to influence people's perspective on, you know, on our candidates. And the media is complicit on this. And to your point, this is what they've been doing. They've become so ideologically fixed. But, Gail, they're not connecting the dots and seeing as a result of being this fixed, what is their trustworthiness? I mean, it's less than Congress, like 6%.
Right.
6%
right.
of America only believes in, you know, in any kind of validity or veracity of the mainstream media today.
It's harming their stature in the public domain, in the, like what you're saying, not just their approval rate, but their trustworthiness, the idea that they have not lived up to what their purpose or calling in life is. And it's also hurting their economic models. That's why we've been able to have such a resurgence and, you know, amazing flowering of conservative websites and news organizations, because this is a split country. It's not all liberal. It's not all conservative. And people are going to go to news sources that they trust. And unfortunately, when we see organizations like the Boston Globe, I also wrote about in my Daily Caller piece about Time Magazine. A few weeks ago, they had a complete hit job on Ted Cruz with a terrible picture of him on the front cover. And the question that the cover asked the reader was, likable enough? And that, of course, is a reference to Senator Obama when he was running against Hillary Clinton saying, well, Hillary is likable enough. So, but they don't reference that in the time piece. They just use that phrase.
Exactly. Well, and this is the stuff, you know, you get pieces and parts of things and then you start interchanging them and people will say, well, I know that came from the Republican Party, but they forget it originated in the Democratic Party.
Absolutely.
And so here you are, you're spending so much time trying to get them out of a bucket of gum and, you know, kind of get the string back in order. It's such a jumbled mess.
It is a jumbled mess. And when you think about that, think about the flip side. It would be one thing if you could see the Boston Globe doing a fake front page similar for Bernie Sanders saying we have, you know, bread lines and we have, you know, no, only one type of deodorant, like making up fake headlines for a Bernie Sanders presidency or Hillary Clinton. You know, we have this kleptocracy, and she has sold out all of our national security to foreign interests. You have a fake front page with everything like that, but it's not balanced. It's not even.
Right. Yeah, I could imagine you'd have a phone there illustrated with the phone ringing with a clock showing 3 o'clock in the morning, and it just keeps ringing.
Right.
You know, so yeah, there could be any one of, you know, satirical points that could be presented and balanced. But, you know, above all, you know, and you and I have talked about this before, and we've maintained that, you know, the purpose of the mainstream media of publications is to document history, and their documentation of history is so prejudiced right now. I mean, what are generations down the road, you know, 25, 50 years from now, going to look back at this time and say, man, these people were really messed up?
Right. Right. And it's sad because you think about the journalistic failings that we have right now, but then also look at academia. You don't have a lot of conservatives in the history departments, in the political science departments of the leading universities, because they are shut out time and time again. And I think that that does a real disservice to the accurate representation of the history of the country. And it does make, you know, you wonder what future generations are going to think about the times that we lived in.
Well, Gail, if we've ever needed a leader that could bring these disparate sides together, it is now. I mean, we're so ideologically fixed. We're upset because things aren't moving in the process. I mean, already the wheels of government move very tediously, very, very slowly, but they've almost come to a grinding halt because of, you know, this fixed ideological perception that we're holding to. But somehow somebody's got to be able to come in and you know, kind of clear the way here.
Right. We are at loggerheads. And I think people are frustrated on both sides because they want, you know, it seems like there's always a ratchet to the left. If there is any so-called progress, it's something like Obamacare, which is passed without a single Republican vote. And the opposition to a law like Obamacare makes the Republicans be able to get the majority ship of the House and the majority ship of the Senate, but then nothing is done because it ratchets to the left and it doesn't come back. And I think that's why you have so much frustration by the American electorate right now on both sides.
Well, I think the tough thing is when you get in negotiations, you got to know when to hold them, when to fold them, but you also got to know when, if there's a sword to fall on, then you got to be prepared to fall on the sword. But when, you know, you're geared in the beltway, particularly in the political scene of reelection, then you're always looking to live another day. And so
right.
You will give up on principles in order to, you know, to continue to live.
Right. Is it about power or is it about principles? And unfortunately, too often in Washington, it's about preserving power and not about articulating an optimistic vision for America and how we can all come together, like you said, resolve the conflict that we have and create opportunity for all Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gail, Donald Trump definitely is bringing something to the front over and over again. I think it's a little late because we're so far into this election, and I think this is having, you know, maybe the wrong perception and attitude. Maybe it works for Donald Trump and a certain percentage of his base to get them all excited because of the, you know, election system, the delegate system, and that sort of thing. But he's stirring up a pot right now that you can't do a whole lot about. You're just kind of, you know, causing a big itch across this country, and it's rather annoying because it's too late. You can't do anything about it right now.
That's right. And you think about, you know, sports. I analogize a lot of things to sports because I love playing sports. And you think about the basketball players who yell back at the refs because they don't like the calls. They're unhappy about it. And you think about the players who take the calls, even the bad calls, and they play harder. They play smarter. They learn from it. They learn, you know, they just have to give more. And I wish that Donald Trump was more like the latter type of basketball player than the former, because I think it not only reflects poorly on him, but it reflects poorly on the entire system. And we are where we are, as you said.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, the Republicans a lot, but the Democrats are just as exciting. I mean, it looks like a NASCAR race on the GOP side, but then, you know, you forget and you go, oh, that's right, those guys are going around in circles too over there, and they're having all kinds of fun. I mean, there's some potential craziness going on over there too, right?
Yeah, it's not boring at all. And I said that in the Time piece. It criticizes the Republicans for being undemocratic, but the Time piece on Senator Cruz doesn't even mention the Democratic superdelegates and all the controversy over that and pulling away the franchisement from Democratic voters.
Exactly. You got a lot of voters whose votes are going to go by the wayside, those that voted for Bernie and realize, oh my goodness, we lost him because of superdelegates. This is no bueno. It's going to be a bad problem down the road. I agree. Gail Trotter, attorney, senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum, a co-founder of Schaefer and Trotter PLC, a law firm in metropolitan Washington, D.C. Gail, always good to have you with us. This is Bill Martinez, just about 2 minutes before the top of the hour, right now, America.